Welcome to the Ralph Moore Podcast. Gain a leadership advantage as Ralph pulls wisdom from his bag of over 50 years' experience in planting and leading multiplying churches. Our goal is to help you live as a leader you'd want to follow. You'll learn about making disciples and planting churches, but beyond that, you'll gain practical wisdom about subjects like how to manage your team, handling difficult people, pulling a congregation off a growth plateau, and even money management.
Hi, welcome to the podcast. Today is part two of my interview with Toby Ishitobi, the pastor of Rise OC in Orange County, California. It's an interesting church, very exciting to me because it's a mix of Japanese-speaking people and English-speaking people. Toby was born in Japan, and parents immigrated to the United States, so he's bilingual. He grew up in this church, went away and planted a church. COVID hit them hard. They came back differently. Exciting things are going on there. You're going to really enjoy this. But a question that I wanted to ask you is, any of those who left drifted back?
I would say no, not yet. I think what happened was some people kind of stuck there and just, all right, even though we're hurt, let's do it. But I felt like church really, really tried. They really tried to get to know each other, and it was beautiful. And then there's another Japanese language, because this is all English. There was a Japanese language church with a Japanese pastor, which wasn't me at the time. And so this was like this three flows of river trying to make one flow, and it was just pretty difficult.
Oh, my gosh. That would make it harder.
Yeah. So that was unexpected, but I thought, all right, well, I'm here to do English ministry, so I was going to stick with that. But then a year later, the Japanese pastor also retired. So then, all right, well, I speak Japanese. I grew up in the Japanese side, so it was just this natural transition that I would oversee both, because we have, you know, English assistant pastors, so we could devote my time a little bit more to the Japanese. So that's when the whole thing kind of all really started to take form at this, what we have right now. But to answer your question, like, not many came back, but what happened was more people began to leave after, because, you know, we all stuck together, and it was a beautiful thing. I was just blown away by the unity within after a whole year of trying. But then soon as this was 2019 when all this happened, so I felt like we were opening up 2020 with this really exciting kind of momentum. We're like, all right, so finally the dust has settled. We know who's here. We got the Japanese. We got the kind of the transitioned English group. So, and I just, there was this, we do our annual business, it's called society meeting, annual meeting in February. And I remember, right, everyone went through a lot of transition, but there was this incredible unity in that room. And we did that with bold language, and people were holding hands, we're praying, and God, we're here now, and we're going to literally rise together. And then a month later, COVID happened. So that was a real shock, because I thought this was going to go somewhere. And then the church had to shut down. So that was so I don't know if that answered the question, but like we were ready to go, and then people stuck together and COVID happened. And after COVID, about a year of just online and trying to figure all this out, I was so excited to see the people come back when the church opened up again. But that's when more people left. So that was kind of a unexpected curveball that.
Why do you think that happened? I mean, you did well and survived. You're one of the few that did well during COVID.
I think we did financially. We were strong during COVID. And I didn't know why, but it was good. And people, you know, really tried to do online community to the best of their abilities. And but I think that was the time where, you know, people really examine, all right, what am I looking for in a church? When COVID opens up, where am I going to commute? You know, because obviously during COVID, you open up the laptop and the community was right there. Everything was done online for a while. But once it opened up again, I thought, okay, when, you know, we were doing so much work to like, all right, get the seats separated and we're ready for people to come back. And we opened it. I thought people would be waiting, you know, at the door, come, you know, they will flood back in because we did strong during COVID. Community was there. The giving was there. And it was just like, wow, I was amazed. So when you open up the door again, I thought, all right, we're going to, you know, just fill this place up. And then that's when I didn't see anybody. And I realized when people returned to church, they were going to go to the church that they really want to go. And so that what revealed was I felt like this wasn't the church that they really, really wanted to go. They were trying to, you know, see what happens. They were curious, but I realized this wasn't the church that, you know, at the end of the day, because they had a whole year to think about these things, and it wasn't the church that they wanted to be a part of. And I think it was good. It was painful, obviously, but people became real. And, you know, Japanese people, Asian people, they kind of would do things that out of maybe guilt or maybe out of courtesy, but I think they really became true to themselves and they chose what church they really wanted to go. So as painful as it was, I think it was a good thing that people did, because who came back, I knew that they were there because they wanted to be there. So it was kind of a shakeup, but and it was painful, but I felt it was a good shakeup.
We kind of live in a bifurcated church world. Mm-hmm. You have, you know, I think every church probably starts out on mission. There's a cause. We're going for it. But over time, it turns into what one of my friends calls an enterprise, where it becomes more businesslike. And so in starting up, you're on mission, you're mobilizing people. They're going to do stuff. You get a break like COVID where everybody's online.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of, you know, the kind of voluntary things that you got to do to keep church going, but it's easy because you can't like send people off to Japan as missionaries. Mm-hmm. You can't do anything during that time to join together. And so you get some pretty healthy things in a situation like that. I know a guy who took over a church just before COVID, a church, a pretty strong church, about 600 people. Mm-hmm. And it shrank to about 400. But when they came out of COVID, there was like 1,200 people in this church. It's just like, because they bonded, but they bonded around mission. Mm-hmm. And so you come out of something like COVID, and now what you have is these big enterprise churches, the churches that can do great things for your children. They got a great music program. They got stuff. Mm-hmm. And here you are, you're on mission. You're trying to do something really, you know, that takes you back to the first century almost, or in your case, maybe to John Wesley. But and not everybody wants that. They want, you know, another thing. I remember when we were starting out, you know, the Jesus movement was raging. Mm. Calvary Costa Mesa was 20,000 people. Mm-hmm. And yet all of us were called cults by the established churches. They hated what we were doing. And yet it was the thing they had all prayed for decades, probably. And when it happened, they didn't want anything to do with it. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, I just love meeting you because I think you're in a really good spot. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to hear some really good things as time goes on, but take us, continue. I keep interrupting you, but
No, it's okay. Thank you. I appreciate it. So I think there was another reset button through COVID. And this time it felt more real. And you know, people came back, little by little. But I, right now the church, especially the English, is made up of almost 90% of the people, maybe even more, is all people after COVID. So there's really no history of the merger. There's no, you know, wound from that at all. I mean, they're just kind of, you know, we found this church online, or we found this church through word of mouth, and we're here, even though we're still small. I think that what's unique about, or what's really is, it's a safe place to, you know, ask questions, and it's small enough that there's no intimidation about that. I mean, yeah, like I wish we had more of this, more of that, but I think what we have right now is this multicultural, you know, a safe space to really like explore like what God has for them. So that's unique. And I get to pastor with Pastor Jenny Switka. She's a professor at my local university, but also being a pastor. So with her and I, we kind of pastor together this church, especially in English. And what she provides is a safe space too. She's very strong in social justice. And, you know, she has the heart for the marginalized. And it's just, I think us leading, you know, I'm being Japanese and Asian, like a minority. I mean, it's just like the makeup of us feels like, all right, this is something that post-COVID years and days, like, I think there's a value for a church like us. So, you know, that's kind of the uniqueness of what I get to do right now. In the meantime, the Japanese language that I get to pastor has kind of, since COVID and after COVID, it's always been pretty strong, I think. Again, there's not many Japanese churches out there. You know, we have, again, for a safe space with parking lots there, and a lot of Japanese families can come. And so what we do is like a Japanese English language cafe. So we have partnering with like English speakers that and then we invite the Japanese mothers that with their children, we provide the coffee and the snack, and it's really cool. It looks like a cafe, and we get to sit and we speak English, and that's all we do. But it's, you know, it's a waiting list of moms who really were looking for a community. Even, and then we get to share, you know, Christian testimonies. I share the Bible in both English and Japanese, and it's been remarkable to see like that it's a small community of Japanese people that could really kind of come to church without knowing they're coming to church. But it's we don't, you know, hide anything. You know, we just be pretty straightforward. We're a church and we want to communicate about Jesus, but you know, here we want to give you the opportunity to learn English. So that's one of the key ministries that we have for the Japanese. So it's been a fun time. Japanese language is very exciting. You know, I told you about the multi-generation. That's really what I love. And so it's a unique but exciting times. And I hope that we get to, you know, grow deeper and deeper right now. So
I love hearing this. One of my friends was a missionary in Tokorozawa.
Okay.
And just took forever to get traction. When he went in, it was a little bit similar to what you're sharing. Church had pretty much shut down. Mm-hmm. And then somebody recruited a bunch of people that didn't know each other to come together and be a core group. Somebody in Japan did this before the guy showed up. Well, they just hated everything about him. And so it took a couple of years to actually to just get those people, when they finally just got tired and left, then it still didn't get traction for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then his wife started something very similar to what you're doing. She started it with children, and then she started with the mothers of the children, and the church started to grow and became quite successful. Mm-hmm. So I love hearing stories like that. So are you pastoring it as two churches, or is there a blend? How does that work?
Yeah, it's thank you for that question, because I think that's what makes us unique, is that I pastor both churches as one pastor. I have, obviously, there's other assistant pastors or associate pastors that we work together as a team, but I do lead both language. So it makes things easier where it's not two lead pastors trying to work things out. I mean, I get to do that in both languages. And we have one board for the church. It's not two boards, but one board for the entire church. We always say we're one church with two language right now. And that's what I used to love about this church growing up. Even though we had two congregations, we always felt like one church. But when I was gone, the two pastors who led, they kind of both, and you know, that's the, that was their style, but they kind of just led separately. And they, oh, you do your thing, I'll do my thing. So the church during that time was very separated, which was fine. Just when I came back, I couldn't do that. I felt like this beauty of this church was always one church and that one congregation supporting each other. So we really tried a lot to do events together and have the same mission, same heart, same vision. And we just, we already put it in our vision that like, we're going to reach the Japanese, you know, like, cause I feel this is the prime location for Japanese missions. For the English people, I want you to know that we're going to really like take seriously of this Japanese ministry. So that's why we have the Japanese language. So anyways, as a whole church, we work together, even though we have two languages.
So, you know, as I'm hearing you talk, my brain is kind of racing to back to my friends in Japan. Yeah, I know you're going to meet my friend Fumi. We met online together. And you know, one of the problems that they face, Fumi has missionary organizations coming to him. I think two of them going. Basically, this is what our dilemma. That we send Americans, sometimes Japanese Americans, who are English speakers, and they go to Japan. They spend about 3 years learning the language, and then they try to plant a church, and they spend 6 or 7 years in frustration, and then they came home, and we've wasted everybody's time and a lot of money, and so they're actually going, can we send people to your church because you're planting churches out of a Japanese church? It would seem to me that in where your unique gift to the body of Christ, who you are, that you're positioned that if I knew somebody in Orange County who feels called to Japan, I want to send them to Toby because you don't have to go to Japan to, you know, you can plow a lot of ground in your own life and heart and learn a lot about culture by participating. And you know, when I was in Hawaii, or like a Friday night service was a big rock and roll service in the big church. And we'd have maybe 40, 50 Nihonjin every Friday.
Really?
We eventually, we probably goofed. We sent them out and started a church. And the guy was a great guy, and he went on and planted a bunch of house churches in Japan. But we had a lot of momentum there, and we would have people coming in and out of Japan. Would be attracted to our church. But we also, that was a big attraction to people with a heart for Japan. And several of those young guys are live there now. There's four or five of them. And then, and have planted a very large handful of church, probably between them, I don't know, 15, 18 churches altogether, counting the, you know, the micro churches. But it's, and I think that you're in a really unique spot. If I know anybody that lives in Orange County that is saying, I want to go to Japan, I'm sending them to you.
Yeah, we have one missionary who's getting ready to go to Japan. She's a you know, Hispanic American, and like she commutes from downtown LA, that area, to our church every Sunday because she has that heart for Japan. So it's, doesn't even live in Orange County, but she, I think she sensed that. So she's getting ready to move to Japan. So,
That's wonderful. So as you see the future unfold, what are you thinking?
Well, obviously there's a mission in front of us, that there's a location that's still prime, you know, and the harvest is coming, and we want to be ready for that. But the church, I feel, needs to be united. And I think when there's healthy unity and sold out hearts for Christ, I think something amazing could happen here at Rise OC here in Costa Mesa, Orange County.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, be sure to subscribe and check his blog at ralphmoore.net.